You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. Are you worried about winter? All new and pre-owned vehicles include winter tire packages, tire wheel sensors, storage, and much more. They want everyone to get home safely. Learn more at Lakewood Chev. Check them out on the south side, just off 91st Street. Get to our big guest of the day, brought to you by Alberta Mortgage Funding. Since 1983, AMF has provided equity loans for Albertans without checking credit, income, or employment. For fast approvals, apply online at albertafunding.com. Craig Button, former scout and GM of the NHL, now scout analyst for TSN, joins us as always on Fridays. Craig, in Calgary, of course, well, you got the World Juniors. Well, we'll get to that in a sec. But tonight you got the Montreal Canadiens taking on the Calgary Flames. And then tomorrow they're in Edmonton and probably not Carey Price because the Oilers own him. But you look at that Habs situation. Is it fixable?
What do you mean fixable?
For this year. Can they rebound or do they got to make massive changes to that group and try to find some guys who actually know how to play center?
Well, you know, when you consider where the Montreal Canadiens reside in terms of their division, the Atlantic Division, it is not exactly a powerhouse division. So, you know, let's take Tampa Bay and Toronto and let's slot them in 1-2. Well, there's got to be a third team to make it from that division. Now, Boston seems like they're a team that's found some real good settled play and getting a little separation from those other teams. So, you're the Montreal Canadiens, you're going to have an opportunity to play those teams, Boston included. So you're going to have to find a way to win those games. Now, when it comes to the team, they're a team that's flawed. They're a team that has square pegs and round holes. They're a team that lacks in significant areas. They're not quick on the blue line. They're not big up front. As you just pointed out, you know, the center ice position, that's where the square pegs and round holes come in. Carey Price is a game changer. Carey Price, when he's on top of his game, can be a real significant, player that can get you a win despite all those other ailments. But for me, they're a team that maybe they make the playoffs as they go on a real good run and other teams falter, but they're not anywhere near a Stanley Cup contender. So you ask yourself, okay, what do you want to be? Are you in it to win it? Does making the playoffs, you know, buy you some time? I don't know, but I watch this team and they're not a Stanley Cup contender, not in any way, shape, or form. With Carey Price playing at his absolute best, they're not a Stanley Cup contender.
Yeah, it's a tough spot. I recognize the management group has put them in this one, but I feel like I don't know if they can really go forward without going backwards. Oh, I was just saying that. Can they go forward without going backwards? I mean, I'm looking at their group, and I see a defense that has some nice pieces, but, you know, probably has a lot of guys that are more suited for the back end of the top six rather than the front end. I see up front a lot of guys that kind of are mixing here and there, but no center. I mean, and they traded away Sergachev for a winger that they're trying to play at center. I mean, I wonder if it's not time to take a look at making some hard decisions, and that would maybe include their captain, who would be a nice asset at his cap hit.
Jason Greger, I don't know why you even have me here anymore. Jason Strudwick has all my thoughts. And you know what? There's no need. I totally agree with you, Jason. And I mean, I say this in the most complimentary of terms. You've been on winning teams. You know what winning teams look like. You know what they smell like, and you know how they have to be formed. And I love your term about how do you go forwards without going backwards. And I think that that's what I was describing. You might make the playoffs, but it doesn't mean anything. So you're right. You got a number of defensemen that have to play higher up in the time on ice allocation. That's not good. So I think they have to look at making some moves to try to solidify the areas that if you want, everybody, I love how everybody at the beginning there goes, our goal is to win the Stanley Cup. Okay, we get it's your goal, but is it realistic based on where your team is at? And as you point out, I think that the Montreal Canadiens, it's not a realistic goal. It's not a goal that's achievable where they're at. So they have to look at how are you going to improve your team in those critical, critical areas. And until they do that, they're not going to be a contender.
Craig Button from TSN joins us. World Juniors, Craig. You know, Canada obviously has a very good team. I don't think there's any question every year they're going. I'm not sure they're a clear-cut favorite by any stretch in this tournament, though. As it's set to get going on Boxing Day, who are some players that, for any country, you think fans should be watching who maybe they haven't paid much attention to?
Well, Yeah, it's a good question, and let me tell you this: I don't think Canada's a favorite in any way. Now, forget about clear cut. I mean, there's five teams that can win the gold medal: Finland, Sweden, Canada, USA, and Russia. And the margins are razor thin. And you know, there's a lot of things that you have to do well over the course of a tournament to be successful. And that's certainly what the task is for Team Canada. Now, players. I mean, you can start right with Rasmus Dahlin. I mean, he's the best player in the tournament. Yeah, you're right. 17-year-old player, he's the best player in the tournament. He dominates the Swedish Hockey League. He's going to play in the Olympics. He is, I've said this many a times, and it's very clear to me, he is a franchise-defining number one defenseman, just like Connor McDavid and Austin Matthews were franchise-defining number one centermen. He is going to be the first pick in the NHL draft in 2018. Whoever wins the lottery is going to be doing backflips, just like the Edmonton Oilers and the Toronto Maple Leafs did. That's how good he is. He controls and commands the game in every single area. So we'll move on to the from there. Miro Heiskanen, defenseman from Finland. Dallas's third overall pick last year. He will play in the Olympics as well for Finland because he's that good. He is that player that is Lidström-esque. And, you know, there's never going to be another Nicklas Lidström. We all know that. But he's Lidström-esque in the sense that he just plays the game, whatever's required. He doesn't do it with a lot of bells and whistles. He doesn't do it with a lot of fanfare. But he's in the right position everywhere on the ice. He makes the right play at all times. You can't push him out of the game. He plays 25 minutes of the game, and he's elite. He's an elite, elite player. So that's Finland. Now you go to the USA. And I'm going to tell you guys who to watch on the USA. It is Adam Fox. He's a Calgary Flames draft pick. He's another player that has a very good chance to play in the Olympics. He's playing at Harvard University. You talk about a draft pick not in the first round. You're talking about a player that can make plays with the puck. He's excellent defensively. He's got great confidence. He was on this team last year that won the gold medal for the USA. Now I'm going to go to Russia, and I cannot help but go right to Andrei Svechnikov. He's played two age groups ahead for the most part and been one of the very best players playing 2 years ahead. And to me, he is going to be a top three pick. He might very well be the second pick after Dahlin. He's got a game like Marian Hossa, and I don't think there's any question that he can come into this tournament and be a real significant difference maker for Russia. He's that good. And then on Canada, I'm going to tell you where I'm going. I'm going right to Jordan Kyrou. St. Louis Blues, second-round draft pick a couple years ago. I think he's got unbelievable skill. He's got the three required. He can skate, he's got hands, and he can think. And he can do all those things at the pace necessary. So those are five players that I would tell. There's going to be other players. Don't get me wrong here. Those are five players I would say pay attention. One more guy I would tell you, if you haven't watched him play, he's as nifty as nifty can be. And he's the Western Hockey League's leading point producer, Alexei Hapaniemi from the Swift Current Broncos.
Oh, so yeah.
There's six. There's a half dozen for you. And there'll be others, but those guys are pretty good players that I just mentioned.
It's such a short tournament, Craig. I'd like to get your thoughts on as far as the coaching. You know, how much does coaching come in there? Or are you kind of just blessed with the group of guys you have, and can they get together and get this done?
The five teams, Canada, USA, Russia, Sweden, and Finland, all have the same coaches that coached at this tournament last year. So I think that gives them a familiarity with the demands of the tournament and how the tournament unfolds. So I think that's really significant. And Thomas Montan, who's the head coach of Sweden, Sweden was rolling along last year. They were rolling along when they got a 2-0 lead versus Canada in the semifinal game. And Thomas said one of the things that he learned is that when it really got serious in the semifinal game against Canada, and they were really pushing, he goes, I hadn't prepared our team for that push over the course of the tournament. And he said, and he took real serious responsibility for them falling short. Now, he knows that now, and he comes back with that understanding. I think the second thing is that they spend so much time with the players and knowing the tournament that they also understand, okay, what do we have to do to get this group of players, this line working, this pair? And the more familiarity you have with the demands of the tournament and with your opponents, I think that really helps you utilize your players in an optimal fashion. So all that being said, Jason, I think that you got to be careful about not overthinking it, and I think that's true of any coaching endeavor. But I think that there is a real requisite amount of understanding of tournament play, and I think with these coaches returning from last year, it'll help them, it'll help their teams, and I think it'll help the players.
Greg, quickly, give me your thoughts on the Carolina Hurricanes' overall team defense. Does that impact, like, Darlene's gone there, he's really struggled at times. We have Kevin Woodley, our goalie guru guy, on, and he says, you know what, for all the talk about their, you know, great analytics for that team, he says it's tough at times to be a goaltender. What do you think about Carolina's overall defensive structure?
Well, they don't give up a lot. I mean, that's number one. They don't give up a lot of quality chances. I personally believe that the problem last year was goaltending, and I think the problem this year is goaltending. I think Scott Darling is not very good, and I think it was a heck of a leap of faith to give somebody that had been a backup, a four-year deal and think that he was going to turn your fortunes around. That's my own feeling about Scott Darling. And when you go and look deeper into the numbers, and again, when I talk about quality scoring chances against, they're one of the best at not allowing very many of those. And Darling's one of the worst in save percentage, considering what he gets there. So, and then you combine it, with another element, that they don't score. They're not a great scoring team. They're not a great, what I would call, scoring threat team. Mm-hmm. They have really good players. They're smart. But who's their trigger guy? Right off the top of your heads, and you guys know their team, who's their trigger guy?
Probably Skinner, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you were saying probably Skinner, who is anything but elite.
Yeah.
Right? Good, solid goal scorer. Maybe like Mike Camilleri in his heyday, right? Like,
yep.
And Mike Camilleri would never have been called elite. So when you don't have the ability to score on one shot, to be able to threaten, and then your goaltending is so porous, that's a real problem. So when I watch them play, I like the way they play. I think they have good defensemen. I think they play really well in terms of denying opponents. But, you know, two areas that are really critical to success in the league, goaltending and scoring, they fall short. They fall short significantly in the goaltending area.
Craig, as always, we appreciate it, my man. Have a great Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. We'll be watching at the World Juniors and hope you have a great time.
Yeah, happy holidays to you guys, too, and always look forward to the World Juniors, so I hope you guys enjoy it, too.
You betcha. Craig Button.